Oh, we can begin. Richie is here, and so we're all right. Today's stuff is stuff noon. However, because my audience got a little bit bored on Friday, we left some of Memphis on the base untouched. But the last thing that we learned was that the insane snake, who was an escapee from the local insane asylum, and who was ready to drink the rash, clearly no normal snake would do something like that. That was the last thing that we learned. By the way, but this is a very important yesod in the Gemara. We came up with Eimei Ve'im Ra'ayam and Hashotim. You can't bring Raya from idiots. I mean, most people do that all the time, so it's important to remember. Okay, we're up to then. Om Reb Nachman, six lines from the bottom. Chelev ha'asui kikova eino sotein. Remember that we came up basically with the yisod that we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva as to the hagdora of the chelev, which is tamei. And the shaila was, what do we find in common of all chelev that's tamei that we should compare it to kol ha'chelev ha'chaseh ha'kerev? According to Rabbi Akiva, you need to have tusaf trum v'niklav. It needs to be, first of all, tusaf, which means that it hangs on like a sheet. It hangs on a sheet, then that means that it removes as a whole. It doesn't have a lot of places where it's connected and you have to tear each one separately and so on. And then also it's a membrane that can be peeled. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't need to be tusaf. It only needs to be krum v'niklav. And the nafkamina is that anything which is chelev tamei is not sotein, and chelev tahor is sotein. So today, Reb Nachman wants to add that if you have chelev that is made in a like a kova, so that it's it's not smooth, it sticks up, it's a round piece, in other words, that's not sotein, that's like chelev tamei. Heicha, what area is he referring to that is not sotein? Amr lechita de karkasha. So some say the reference would be to the small bits of fat that are attached to the rectum, where over there you have like little chitim, like chitim, a lotion of chitim. And if there's a hole in the rectum which one of those chitim covers, then it wouldn't be sotim and it would be trefa. So these little round things we call like a kova. Others learn that no, it's referring to the entire shape of the shuma, not a little piece of shuma, but rather the tarpasha, the liba. What we're talking about over here is the pericardium, where over there you have, the shape is like a kova, and there's a chelev area. I think they had a picture over here, if I'm not mistaken. Now Rashi learns that the meaning over here is that if, let's say, there's a hole even in the lung next to this. Does anybody remember what page the heart was on?
71.
No, it's too
far. 73.
There's a heart right there. It's 73. Yeah, but that's not the. Okay, I don't remember. It was earlier, but it was a nice. I know, but it doesn't mean anything. Okay, in any event, Rashi learns that this means that if the lung is next to the area of the lung next to the heart has a hole in it, then this shemen is so same. So the scale of a show is same. It wouldn't be a kosher schema. Tosus learns that the schema that we're referring to over here is only of the organ of which this is a part. Here it is. It's on page 52, where you have. Ah, no, here they removed it. Sorry, there's no. Sorry, they took off the keys, so you can't see it. Yeah. Okay, so according to Rashi, the question over here is whether it'll be so same even in an adjacent organ. Tosus says that, of course, we never discussed that, because remember the whole issue over here, especially the way, if you recall, the way Ramban was learning the words shuman, the way we use shuman instead of chelev. that it means the same as Boser Shamein, means the fats from within the organ. And he explains that's exactly why it's so tame. So tame is really part of the organ itself.
Excuse me, that's a reference to Chelev being part of?
You weren't here, I don't think, but there's a question is what the word Shuman means.
No, I understand that, yeah. But I'm wondering if
the word Shuman is Shamein, so it means the Shamenut of the thing itself.
So that's the Shuman of Chelev you're talking about in that case.
Yeah, we are talking about Shuman of Chelev, but that's why, because Shuman is not a separate thing like the Chelev is 2-7 and so on. So Mamela, there's no tzad bichlal that another organ's chelev would be certain. That's not the issue. The question would be only of that organ itself. So and it shows this from other places we have by the Reya and so on, where there's no shimon that's certain if it's not coming from that organ. Omar Rava, Shemayim to me know the Rav Nachman Tarte. And Rava says, I heard two maimorim from Rav Nachman. One which was a type of fat which is sensing, and one which isn't, and I don't remember anymore. He said, Chimtza Ubar Chimtza is what the name of the type of fats were, the Chimtza fats, the Bar Chimtza fat. One of them, he said, was so tame. One of them, he said, was not so tame. Veloya Dana Harmina. I don't know what the reference was, and don't know which is which. So Ravuna Bachirna and Ravuna Breder of Nachman said, you want to remember what Rav Nachman said. Chimtza is sotem. Bar chimtza is, bar chimtza is sotem. Chimtza is not sotem. And the simon, Omer of Tavos, the simon is yofek koach ha-ben mikoach ha-av. There's a sugya that we have. A sugya of whether, whether you could rely on a shvua to be geva in a case of an heir. So the father cannot be geva without a shua, and the son can be gova without a shua. So it's the kayak of the ben, even though it's only Yerush that kayak from the father, is yofa from the kayak ha'av, which is a strange house. Already remembering that, it's a simon over here. Don't forget the remozim over here to Yosef Atzalik as well. Hai chimtza, hai bar chimtza. What do you mean by chumetz and bar chumetz? Toshma. You want to identify it, what we're referring to, however, we continue to discuss here the shayla of the chaylev she'agvei akeva. Remember that we had a machlokes for the akeva of Yishmol. Whether the chaylev she'agvei akeva is considered to be chaylev tamei, or chaylev taharim, or kayanim, or not, or hetter, because of Yishmol, Mishma, Vaisalas, but the way the whole sugya began. Now, continuing that sugya, we have to zero in on what chaylev we're referring to. Let us recall that the keva is shaped basically in a bow shape, correct? You can take a look and get a really good sense of what the Gemara is referring to. If you take a look on page 70. So here we have a bowed stomach. The bow part is called the keshet, and the string part is called the isera, from the lotion of yeser. A yeser is a string in a bow. Okay, so this is the yeser, and this is the keshet. Now, the keshet, or akashta in Aramaic, faces the area of the chelev ha-mechaseh et hakerev. And that chelev ha-mechaseh et hakerev forms, here they've peeled it all away. You can see this large, this is chelev ha-mechaseh et hakerev. You can see underneath the thick fats that are under, these are connective areas. Connects to this piece over here that has been peeled off of the keshet. Normally that would have been folded up against the keshet, against the stomach. So now that area, which is mechubar to the chelev shagabe hakerev, is closer to the type of fat that ought to be osir. And this is called the akashta. This is the isera, and these fats are not as attached to the chelev shagabe hakerev. So this is the chelev of the isera. You can see very clearly in this picture where they've peeled away the chelev shagabe hakerev and the attached chelev of the akashta. You can see very clearly the difference between it and the chelev of the isera. Now if you take a look on page 71, you can even get a strong feeling for the type of chelev that we're talking about. The chelev ha-mechaseh et hakerev over here, you can see, has been yellowed. See, it's like a thick yellow chelev, and it has all kinds of folds in it. The chelev here, along this bow, is the area that's covering the stomach. And that was the machlokes that we had with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Because of its smichut, its connection here to the chelev ha-mechaseh ha-keref. Now, the shayla, by the way, you'll see the beautiful remez over here again. We have the Isra. We call this area the bow and the yeser, the keshet and the yeser. But remember that the keshet is Yosef, who is Yosef Beitan Kashto. The bow, the string, is Yisro, is yeser. The whole story of Midian is Pinchas, who comes from Yosef and Yisro. So it's a question whether Imo Mitzada Eim was from Yisro Mitzada. But this combination, the Chimtza Ubar Chimtza, is this area. Here?
That's the
Keshet. This is the Keshet.
Is it that
one?
Number
one.
It's the number one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not quite. This is that's the area over which this fat is old. So now, what are we trying to do? We're trying to trace back to other Maimonim of Rav Nachman. What is Chimtza Ubar Chimtza? So far we know that Yofek Echa Ben Mikech Ha'av is a simen that the bar chimtza is sotein, which means that it's chelev shor, and the chimtza is not sotein, which means that it's chelev tamei. What, however, is the identification of these things on the animal? High chimtza, high bar chimtza. How do we identify? Now this we can discover through Rav Nachman. Remember, Rav Nachman is the one who said chimtza, bar chimtza. We know that he's referring to the fat that is on the stomach. And we're trying to figure out which is which. So let's look now at another mimer of Rav Nachman, which will allow us to reconstruct what Rav Nachman is referring to. The Omer Rav Nachman, and another time Rav Nachman said like this, Inu in Eretz Yisrael, michle achle, they actually eat that chelev. Well, it's done, mistam nami lo satim. So even though we in Babel don't eat this chelev, should we be so insanely machmir that we shouldn't even rely on it, that it should be a din of chelev tahor, which is so same a whole, because remember that's one of the differences between chelev tamei and chelev tahor. There's a shiloh over here, by the way, why is it worse to eat? Because if we're going to be machmir, to call it chelev tamei, so why shouldn't we be machmir that it shouldn't be soysim for treifas? I mean, treifas is also a chumri. So some learn that the difference is in the act of achila. In other words, to eat something, we're always more machmir a direct achila. Just like we found, Tosfos is mechalek by behemtan shel tzaddikim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takola yada is talking about an act of achila, not stam to fall into iser. So okay, lagabi achila, let's say we keep our distance. We don't put things into our body that we're not. But over here, lagabi, whether it's soysev to give it a din, lagabi, another treifas, maybe we shouldn't be so mad. But it's a little hard to be machalik that way, because ultimately, the treifas you're going to eat, even if it's with soysev, you're going to end up eating it. So others weren't, yeah?
Sorry, this is
it's a metzias? Yes, it's a metzias, as we saw before. That was good for the question in the Gemara. Is it a function of tumah v'tara, so that by a chaya where it's tahor, the same chelev will be soysev? Or is it a din? It's a bai. What kind of question is that? Obviously, it's a metzias. If it's tusav krum v'nikla, which is the definition and the type of the characteristics of chelev according to Rabbi Akiva, shows us why it won't be so safe. It's not coming out of the organ. It's sitting on top like a sheet, and therefore it's not davuk. It can be pulled right off. Whereas shuman, as the Ramban points out, is the shuman of the thing itself.
So we're talking about a definition here. Whether this is shuman.
Yeah, basically. So Rav Nachman is saying, why are we talking about this definition? Because as we'll see, this is a somewhat ambiguous type of chelev. Because it is mechuber in a spot in the middle of the stomach, but it's tusav on the rest of it. So the question is whether if you hold it, you need tusav, is this called tusav or is it too connected to be called tusav? So it's a little bit of an ambiguous question which we find this machlokas in the minhagim between Eretz Yisrael and Bava. So in Eretz Yisrael they used to eat this, in Bava they didn't eat it. Rav Nachman is saying that if we don't eat it, at least we should be saying that it will be seisim like shelev tahor. I was about to explain why we would say that we should be makel, and that's because Reb Sheshes, if you remember, from 2 days ago, said that even chelav tami is sosim. So in other words, you have of your role over the shitas, even if it would be chelav tami, there's a thought to say that it's sosim, believe the Reb Sheshes. If it has a soul, they mamish eat it, and they hold it shuman, so we certainly rely on it together with Reb Sheshes, or we rely on it that it's sosim. Now, from this, we're going to be able to reconstruct what Chimtzeh and Bar Chimtzeh is. Because the Akashta, the Akashta itself, both B'nai Bavel and B'nai Eretz Yisrael, are maskim that it's also. Because when Rabbi Akiva said that Tusav Krum V'Niklav is also, so he's mocked, where you need Tusav, not only Krum V'Niklav like Rabbi Yishmael, but even Tusav, Afilu, according to that shita that is Makel, it says you need Tusav Krum V'Niklav. This is enough Tusav. Why? Because it's Mechuber in the middle of the stomach, and only there, and some Mechuber can be pulled off. It only has that little piece where it's Mechuber. So therefore, they ask for the Akashta. Ki Pligi the Isra. They're arguing about the Yeter, which is the area on this side. Sorry, on this side, which is like the string. This is the bow, and this is the string. So this fat over here on page 70 on the top of the stomach is what we're arguing about, according to this version, right? So that Aitra, the Aitra, there we have a machlokas between Bavel and between Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, they're machmer like Rabbi Shmuel, the way we ended up understanding Rabbi Shmuel, that Krum V'Niklav itself is Chelav Tama, even without Tusav. And in Eretz Yisrael, they rely on Rabbi Akiva, that you need Tusav Krum V'Niklav. So Tusav means it's like a sheet. This is clearly not like a sheet. You can see it's all stuck. And it doesn't hang there like a sheet, like a dress over it. It needs to be peeled and so on. So therefore, that's not, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's not Chelav, and there's Chelav on Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now we understand what Reb Nachman was referring to. When he was saying that the Chimtza Bar Chimtza, the Bar Chimtza is better than the Chimtza, so it's going to be Sosim. Therefore, what is he referring to, Reb Nachman? That piece, which was the machlokas between B'nai Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Bavel, that's the part that at least should be Sosim, says Reb Nachman. At least let it be Sosim. So that's the Bar Chimtza, that it's Sosim. And the Chimtza is a reference to the Akashta. So everything works out. The Akashta is not Sosim. So now we figured it out. The Akashta is Chimtza. The Isra is Bar Chimtza. And everybody is made that it's at least Sotei. That must be what the reference is. Now there's another Lashon over here, which doesn't make so much sense, believe it or not, but Ikadiyami, the Isra Kuliyamu Apligitashara. Others learn that the Isra, everybody agrees it's mutter to eat, and the Machlokis is Dafka Kiplige the Akashta. In other words, everybody, even in Babel, is like Rabbi Akiva. The question over here is whether, because the Akashta is Mechuber in the middle of the stomach area, and you can see here where it's pulled off, the places where it would be connected in the middle. Here it's been torn off the stomach. Whether Aliba the Rabbi Akiva, this is called Tusav. If it's called Tusav, so then he would be made that it's Aser. The other man, the Arma says, since Lamaisa, it is connected partially, it's not Tusav. Tusav means like a sheet. It's not like a sheet. You can see it's connected. If it's connected, then it should be Mutter. So then maybe that should not be Tusav. So therefore, if you hold that this is considered to be Tusav, then even Rabbi Akiva is made that it's us. We all are Rabbi Akiva. And that's what they're arguing between B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Bavel. Now, according to this, the Mimer of Nachman no longer adds up. We're trying to reconstruct Reb Nachman's Mimer. What is the area that is Mutter? What is the area that is us? What is the Chimtza? What is the Bar Chimtza? According to this, we're saying that everybody, but if Reb Nachman said, well, if according to them they'll eat it, what does that mean? They'll eat the Akashta, right? So at least according to us, it should be Sotei. But then that means both the Isra and the Akashta is Sotem. So then Reb Nachman isn't making any sense. But that's how Rashi learns, that this Ikari Amri doesn't work out, I'll leave it to Reb Nachman, we can't reconstruct Reb Nachman. Taisha says, no, it still works out very nicely, except that Reb Nachman was not to be read as a question, he was to be read as a statement. Inu lo achli, they don't eat it. I mean, Inu achli, they even eat it. Va'anan, and according to this, it isn't even sotem. So in other words, that would mean that the Isra that everybody's made is mutter, according to us, is sotem. And that's the Bar Chimsa. And the Chimsa is not so thin. Because it's good to its own. What?
The
sorry, in the second lesson, Kuli Amri will plug you that it's not real chayla, therefore it is so thin. And that's the Bar Chimsa, according to this lesson. The chayla of Machaseh Sakereh. That's this long, thick piece here that covers the entire curve, the yellowish piece. See? And that small, the smaller white piece inside, so point to the small whiter area. No, 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 on the edge. No, no, no. Yeah, that piece. Number one is the area that we're talking about over here. Yeah, you're looking at it from the outside, and there they peeled off. They peeled off the Akashta, see, on the lower picture. Okay, so according to Tezus, it works out, believe it or not, with both the shoulders. The question is whether we read it out as a question, we read it as a statement. Kiha, the Omer of Avi, Omer of Ami, Mikamzi. Now, if you hold, this is going back on the first Mishnah, the Akashta Kule Amelo Pligida Aser, he Pligida Isra, so when they ate it in Eretz Yisrael, they would take off the area of the piece that's closest to the chelav of Machaseh HaKerev, that needs to be metametz, to disconnect it from that, to cut off the upper area that was connected to the Kerev, and eat the rest. V'chinam Rabbiana Mishum Zakin Echad, mekamtzin, you can take off, this is in Eretz Yisrael we're talking about, you can be mekamtzin, you take up the upper area off, so that you don't have any chelav of the Kerev that's on the Isra, the rest of it is perfectly kosher fat, and that's what we see over there, that white area. Again, this was given to the Kohanim, because this is a chela, this is a keva, so this royal chela, the keva is given to the Kohanim can eat that, and it's no problem, at least in Eretz Yisrael. Om Ravavi, Abba Kain, that committed Ravami, I was standing in front of Ravami, Komsu, they cut off the chela of the carob, Bahabulay, and they gave him the Isra with the fat, the Acha, and he ate it. Now Shami, the Rabbi Chanina's valet, one of the Talmidim, was standing in front of Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina told him, Kamotz, and Avu Deecho, take off the Chel of Shalak Kerev, and serve me some of the Isra. He saw that the guy was like, oh my God. He didn't know that his Talmud was from Bava. So he thought, I'm supposed to serve him Darfus over here. What's going on? Oh, my lady, Chanina realized, oh, Bavlat. I forgot, you're one of these Bava people. So fine, if that's the case, gom, so cut off the whole thing, shti, and throw it out. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and ask you to serve me Darfus. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, B'nei Me'ayim Shenikfu, V'leichasot Ma'atan Shera. If you have intestines that have a hole in it, and the lining of the intestines, the mucus lining of the intestine, seals the hole, it's kosher. Ma'alecha, Om Rav Kamer Shirka D'maya D'nofik Agav Ducha. This is talking about the mucus lining that can only be removed under pressure, but it doesn't come out. Take a look on page 75. You can see over here, this is the area of the upper, the closest to the stomach area of the intestines. They've lifted up some of the shirkadamaya here with a scalpel, with a forceps. So if there's a hole through the outside and this lining covers it, then there's no problem. At least, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, the Gemiri Chavraya, the Rabbi Abba and the Rabbi Abba, the friends of Rabbi Abba learned from Rabbi Abba, and who would the reference be over here? The reference would be to Rabbi Zera, the friend of Rabbi Abba. Or some say it was the friends of Rabbi Zera from Rabbi Zera, in which case the friend would be Rabbi Abba. This would be Rabbi Abba, greater Fia Bar Abba. That Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rechimling Amil Betreif, and he quoted Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we pass back Rechimling Amil Betreif, namely that the lining of the intestine is a good sealant. Vahalacha Rabbi Shimon Baava, and we pass like Rabbi Shimon Baava. By the way, we you know this became a very useful dogma for tyrants nowadays. They now are manufacturing self-sealing tires that have a membrane that actually seals up when it's exposed to the air. And I think they do this in bicycles, although yours never worked.
Actually, a friend of mine invented it several years ago in Boulder.
Oh, really?
I remember it. I'm glad to hear it's sweating.
Actually, I've been in a car. There were three different ones. One was the fluid that they put in there, and they used to spread it to go around the car. The other one was an inner sort of very light membrane that changed.
Alright. And he furthermore said, Alok Rabbi Shimon Ba'ava. Alok Rabbi Shimon Ba'ava, we know what that's referring to. The Trefa, that's referring to Adamar. And what we just said before is referring to the mucus lining. Rabbi Shimon Ba'ava, Mayu, what was the psak of Rabbi Shimon Lagavi Avelis? It's not. Koshul Shayamim Arishanim, for the first three, it should say to Tanya, for the first 3 days of the Avelut, Bami Makom Karov Mone Imahem, someone who was within a day's journey of the Avelim, who had not heard about the Avelut, but could have heard, because it was within a day. If he arrives within the first 3 days, he counts with them. In other words, he only keeps the Avelut till the end of their Shiva. If he comes from the Mokom Rachok, which is further than a day, Monel Atzmo, he starts his own Shiva. Mikan Ve'ela, after the first 3 days, even if he comes from within a day's journey, if he comes on the fourth day, he has to start the Avelis at the beginning, and everybody else finishes earlier. Rabbi Shimon says, no, even if he comes on the last day of the Avelut, Tosfos says that you would have thought that this means that he comes only in the night, because in the morning already, by that time everybody's got up. However, the Gemara Ma'ariv Katan says it's true even in a day. Why? Because as long as usually people hanging around the house on the seventh day after the Kima from Avelis, and as long as people hanging around the house, Menachamim, it's considered to be that the Avelut is going on until everybody's left. Memele, you can be samech on this even during the day of the Yom HaShvi, that Bami Makom Karov, if he's come from within a day's journey, and he just heard about it on the seventh day, he just keeps Shiva that day, and he gets up with everybody else. Omar Mandu, somebody who heard over, we don't remember who it was, but somebody said, when he heard this, man, it's a tremendous tradition. Iski Vasik Vagman al-Shmaitzvi Kumbinimar, I wish I could be Zocha to hear this directly from Rabbi Abba Reduch Shabar Abba himself. He's quoting this. I mean, this, you're quoting him as saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And indeed, he saw like that guy when he went up to Eretz Yisrael. He found Rabbi Abba Reb Chaya Bar Abba, and he asked him, "Omar Lei." So he said to him, "Did you say that the halacha is like trimming a real betrefa?" He said, "No, obviously. I said the halacha is not like trimming a real betrefa. Obviously, I mean, you know, if they're quoting me, it's always the opposite. I'm like, ain't halacha on me? And what about? Did you say anything about Rabbi Shimon by Avelis?" Omar Lei, no, but it's a machlokas. The Yitmar of Chista on a halacha, the Chino of Yoker on a halacha, and Ranakma says, Ein halacha. So that was a machlokas. I didn't say anything about it. The Ein halacha of Rechim and Gamliel betray. For the might of the Sugya Pasch is against Rechim and Gamliel. We cannot rely on the Shirka de Maya to be so saying a nekev in the Me'ai. And halachic Rabbi Shimon Ba'avel, we do paskin, however, like Rabbi Shimon Ba'avel is, because the klal is Yomer Shmuel halachic divrei hamekel Ba'avel. We always paskin like the shita that's mekel when it comes to Avelis. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Chiya, even though we said before ein makifin babui, that if you have blisters on the lung, you can't check a and they were punctured. You can't check by comparison to see whether it was post-mortem or pre-mortem, but you can, by the intestines, check to see whether the hole was done after shrita, by simply making another hole next to this hole and see if it looks the same. If it looks the same, then it must have been done after shrita. Hanub Nimi Ayim Dasa Kami to Rabba. Now, there was a maisa in which Rabba had a shiloh of some intestines that had holes in them, and he punctured it to make another hole next to it, Akpino, Velo Yidmu. And it did not look the same, and he was going to say it's trade. Ramesharsha, his son, came by, he says, hold on a second. He grabbed the intestines and he smooshed them up with his fingers. And Mimash Mishpu, and then they looked the same. So Rabbi said to him, wow, Minolacha, where do you get to do that from? Omar Leh says, it's very reasonable. I mean, Kama Yadi Mimashru Bahani, Mikami Lesser, Kami Namar. You know, how many people do you think handled these intestines before the shiva was brought to you? Or probably every little rov and every shkuna was already going over it. I guarantee you that it's been touched. So how are you going to compare something that's fresh, a hole that's fresh? Touch it the way they touch this hole. Then you'll see if it looks the same. Omar Leh said, wow, Chocham Briva Trefis Grib Yochanan. Boy, the rov has got some really smart kids here. It's already the second time. And he says this. Now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both hold that you can check a hole in the Reya. Even though you can't check buais, you can check a hole in the Reya to see if it was caused after Shvita. Omar Rabbi Lo Amra Laba Uta Aruga. It's only if it's on the same side of the lung, right side or left side. Aval mi Aruga La Aruga Lo. Not from one side to the other, but Alofe is, even from one Aruga to the next. No, even in other words, lobe to lobe, we're allowing. At least, let's wait a second. There's a little machlokas Rashi Tosfos here. Afilu mi aruga le aruga, and mi daka le daka mi gasa le gasa. Now, there's one pirush here. A daka refers to behema daka, and a gasa refers to behema gasa, which means you can even take another lung from a different animal and compare a lung to a lung. The other lashon, which Rashi says he prefers, even though it's a strange language to use, is indeed lobes. So gasa la gasa would be an uma to an uma, and daka la daka would be an una to an una.
An aruga?
The aruga would be the whole aruga on the right side or left side.
Front or the back?
No, right or left.
Would that be allowed?
That would be allowed, but only from this same size lobe to another, so from the uma, the large mother lobe, to a mother lobe, or from an una to an una. But, so Rashi says, that seems to me more reasonable than to say we're going to be so, I mean, on the one hand, we're saying even in the same animal, me aruga la aruga, and we're going all the way to a different animal, and the daka la daka, the Tosu says, that he brings Rabbi Nochanan, that it means even daka la daka, because an una to an uma, we never use the word daka and gasa. We always use the word gedol and ketana, and it's very unlikely that we would have changed the language here. Abaya Varova Dharma Tavar Mekifin Bekana. You could also check a hole or a psuka. Remember, a hole the size of an isser, Bekana, if it's chaser, is treif. Or if it's psuka, we don't know if it's psuka, maybe because a knife fell on in the Beit HaMikdash, or whether it was psuka while it was alive. So you could check it now, see if it's the same. Amar of Pablo, Amar about Tachulia. It's only if it's within the same group of three taba'ot. You can't check from one chulya to another. The hilkata filmi chulya lo chulya. The halacha is even from a chulya to another chulya. And the important thing is, and a bar chulya, bar chulya. So now we're learning that chulya would mean a area that has cartilage, meaning in the taba'at. And no, not chulya this time. I'm talking about the kana.
The
kana. The rings of the dryer tube. And bar chulya would mean the connective tissue in the back of a chulya, or, you know, we've seen this as a kind of, or the area between the chulya, so it's where there's no cartilage. Omar Ziri. But not from a cartilageous area to a non cartilage area. Amaziri chalcholach nikva kishera. if there's a hole in the rectum, even though the rectum is part of the intestines, it's kosher. Why? Because all the yerechayim amidot ota. The problem of the hole in the intestine is because if there's any leakage from the intestine, obviously you're going to have a disastrous infection in the abdomen. And that's why ruptured appendix is such a disaster. Even today, it's difficult to ensure recovery from that kind of infection. So, if there's a hole in the rectum, however, none of the fecal matter is going to get into the abdomen because the yerechayim ma'amidot ota. It's so up close to the edge of the animal that the all the various structures there between the pelvis bones and the muscles and the all of the other bones in that area, they hold it up so that the fecal matter will take the easy way out. Here's a picture. We'll take the easy way out. You can see here that it's caught between the spine on the top and the bones of the pelvis area on the bottom. So there's nothing that's going to escape, and it'll just go out through the anus directly. It's not going to go into the animal itself. The kama. So what is the shear then? Would aser? Omer v'loyom v'yochanan. Mokom ha-devek, the place where the rectum is attached to the edge of the animal, berubo. So, rove, in other words, up until rove, we say that it's missing rove, but the animal's side will hold it together. Shaloga mokamandevik b'mashu, like the rest of the intestines. Amrua rabbana kameda rove mishmeda rav Nachman. Now, the rabbana quoted to Rava this year in the name of Rav Nachman, and Rava got very angry. He said to them, I keep telling you not to hang empty Coke bottles on Rav Nachman. Every time you claim he says something, he never says it. Rav Nachman was much more mako. He said, it's not a question of robe, even if the entire rectum itself was chaser, but you still have the bone surrounding the area, it would be kosher. As long as you have kedei tvisa, it needs to be enough to hold before that area that's connected now to the side so that you don't have any leakage. The kama, how much is kedei tvisa? Omer Abaye kemole bata petura. Even on a shor agadol, the shear would be enough to have a finger's breadth. So about an inch would be sufficient at the edge of the rectum of the kid where it connects to the rest of the intestine. And then we don't care what happens to the rest. Akeres hapnimi. Now here, let's just review the Mishnah again. Take a look back at the Mishnah. This was the part that was most vague in the Mishnah. Akeres hapnimi chenikva. If there's a hole in the keres hapnimi, or shenikra rova chitzona, or if most of the keres achitzona was torn. Now that's a tremendous difference. Let's just see the next piece. Rav Yehuda argues, and he says the chitzona depends on the size of the animal. Hagdola tefach, aktana beruba. Now we want to establish both of these issues. What is the keres hapnimi? What is the keres achitzona? Because there's certainly no difference. If you take a look at a keres, it looks like a kelp. It's not differentiated. There's no articulation of parts. It's just a keres. What is called a keres hapnimi? And what is called a keres hachitzona? Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Heid Nosan Bar Shila, Reish Tafchaya B'tzipori Lifnei Rebbe. The Nosan Bar Shila was the chief butcher in Tzipori, and he was the one that had the Kabbalah from his Rebbe with Rabbi Nosan. His name is also Nosan, no connection. And Rebbe would often ask him questions, because the Tabachim had the practical idea. And he quoted Rabbi Nosan as saying, Ezoi keres hapnimi sanya divi. Actually, the keres hapnimi is an appendix that it hangs from the intestines. It has nothing to do with the keres at all. We only, and it's a different organ completely. It's part of the intestines. And it's called sanya divi because it's even hated by the wolves. A divi is a dove. And it is so disgusting, you know, all of the matter that stays in there. Even a self-respecting wolf that's eating a carcass won't eat it. So it's called, so it's basically an appendix. It hangs, it doesn't have any exit. It just hangs there, and there's a nice picture of the Sanya DB. I don't remember.
What's
it? It's just part of the intestine, same as the human appendix. It's doing nothing in particular. No, but we want to see it on the animal. Here we go. The Sanya DB, you see, on page 70, looks like a completely separate sack. Looks like a stomach.
Doesn't look tasty.
No, it doesn't. And it's similar to the carrots, except, of course, it's tiny. I mean, the carrots is 5 feet bigger than it. But they call it the carrots after me because it's like a bulging sack that's hanging in the inside of the animal. And therefore, they saw it as similar to the carrots and just wanted to make certain that the carrots, obviously, is a rather gross organ that takes rove to be chorea-ed. And but this is part of the intestines, and a little hole in it is going to cause it to betray us. That was a tremendous fetish, because that means we take it off of the whole shita. It's not part of the carrots. The Chenon Rav Yeshua ben Karka, also reported that it's the Sanya DB, and it's not nothing to do with the carrots. Rav Yishmael. Omar, it's the stomach of the karsa, which Rashi says, I don't know exactly what that's supposed to be. The stomach of the karsa is like the stomach of the keras. I mean, there's no particular area called the stomach of the keras. So that's left up in the hole. Ravasi quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, well, there's a narrowing of the keras, except I don't know where it is. Yodea Ezo. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, well, with all of this brilliant explanations, Nafal Karsa Babir at this point, the keras might as well have fallen into a black hole because we don't know to say what he's talking about. Everybody's coming up with words and nobody knows what they mean. Omer Avachabar Ravavam Ravasi. Well, Mina Meitzav Lamata. The animal is hanging by its legs. In other words, going up towards the mouth now is Lamata. From the point at which the keras begins to narrow towards the esophagus and it's hidden within the rib cage. That's the keras Hapnimi. That's why it's called the Pnimi. Rabbi Yaakov ben Achmeni says, in the name of Shmuel, it's the area of the keres that doesn't have any cilia on it. So it's the Mokum She'en Bo Milas. Rabbi Avina quotes Gneva in the name of Rava saying, this we saw before, the tefach of the veshet, all the way down, the area which is closest to the keres, that's called the keres HaPnimi. And in Eretz Yisrael, they quote Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina saying, the whole keres is the keres apnimi. There's no difference with the keres. The keres achitzona is not really the keres at all. The keres achitzona is a completely different trachis. And it's actually the busser that is chofet at rov hakeres, which we listed as one of the shev shmeitzes we had. Now this is the difference, according to this lashon in Eretz Yisrael, the meat that has the muscle that stretches across the abdomen, that's the keres hachitzona. So the area that covers the keres part, that's and only that part is called the keres hachitzona. Rabba Bar Ravuna, he says it's the mafra'ata. Well, nobody ever heard of that organ. What's the mafra'ata? It's not the name of an organ. Says Rav Avia, it's the mafra'ata, means the place where you dissect the animal. Echa the pari tafche, it's where the butchers always slice. The butcher slice through that area of the keres, it's called the keres apnimi. Were they open enough? Benardo avde karaba baravuna, and they actually did this. Halacha labaisa, and they were saying on it, like Rabba Baravuna said, that it's the mafra'ata. So Rav Ashi was upset by this. He said, I mean, we had so many different pshatim. So Amalei Rav Ashi Amemar and Kol Hani Shvaitzamai. And I understand, what about all the other pshatim that we had? They just ignore them. Amalei said, what do you mean? Kulu Shaitan, but Rabba Baravuna. All of the other pshatim basically are included because the Sanya Dibi is part of this. the stomach, must be that main area. Mokum Shein Bo Milas is all on the side of the Mafrahata. So they're all included in the Mafrahata. So we're basically being Machmer. I said, come on, what do you mean you're being Machmer? What about Ravasi Amr Yochanan? He said, I don't know where it is. So what about that? Why don't you have to be Machmer on that? Amalei, well, because Kfar Pirsha Ravacha Bar Abba. Ravacha Bar Abba explained it. That it's the Mokum that it's Meitzar. So that made sense, that it's the place where it starts narrowing up towards the esophagus. Rabbi Yochanan didn't know, but he knew. And that is included in the Mafra'ata. Oh yeah, well what about Rav Avinu's Pshat? That the Keres HaPanimi is in the Veshet? Or what about the B'nai Ma'arava? They said the whole Keres is the Keres HaPanimi. Certainly the Mafra'ata is not the whole Keres. Okay, Ani Vadai Pligi. That definitely, that argues. But, I mean, we're saying on this that the Mafra'ata includes most of the Pshatim, and therefore it's a Beikar, it's a Chumrah. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on the size of the animal. So, B'gdela, a tefach is enough to tear, and B'ktana, you need rope. Now, what is a G'dola and what is a G'tana? I mean, it's certainly not referring to a mean G'dola, Be'ma Dak or Be'ma Gassim. You don't refer to that as big and small. There's a word for that, a technical word for that. Dak and Gassim. So, I mean, G'dola doesn't mean anything. Amri bin Yom Bar Ephes, Amri bin Lozor, it doesn't have to mean anything. It's built into the definition of the words. Because when he's saying gedola, he's not referring really to a large animal. It doesn't mean gedola, mamish, a giant animal. Or a katana means a tiny animal. It's basically a question of whatever comes first. That's all that he's saying. In a large animal where, when you tear a tefach, you haven't torn a robe, then that's the shear. In a small animal where you tear a robe before you get to a tefach, then that's the shear. That's all he's saying. So whichever comes first, robe or tefach, depending on the size of the animal, that'll be the shear of the tarfus. So what he means to say is that kol shenikra bat tefach v'lo aviruva, that's what's meant by gedola tefach. If you tear a robe and the robe is not a tefach, that's obviously a ketana. So zoi sheshaninu ketana beruva. That's all that he's saying. So what's the finish in that? I mean, it's a robe and it's not a tefach. I mean, where the heck would we get a tefach from? I mean, pshita. Obviously, if that's all that it means, so why would I think that if you cut a robe, that somehow or other a robe is not enough, you need to have a tefach. There's no shear of a tefach. Any of the tarfas, where'd you get that from? Pshita. No, it means over here, lo tzrichot have a tefach b'mashel. Point over here is that there's a mashu more that would be a shear of a tefach. So you might have thought, maybe since the robe is kimat a tefach, you need a tefach. Since he's coming to tell you robe is enough, kamash bulana, Tosfos goes, what kind of crazy thing is that? I mean, what's the left mean? If there's a robe, it's a robe. What is it? Because a little bit extra brings you to a tefach. Therefore, I would think you have to wait till the tefach. Why would I think such a thing? I've never heard of such a thing. Who could have come up with such a thing? So he brings the girsa we have. It's not much to do about it. That's what it says. But Rabbi Nochananel's girsa is that you have it's hecha deika tefach umashu. In other words, the robe. We're saying a robe, but it's not a tefach. Means that you don't have a tefach along the entire piece. Well, you don't have a tefach. So over there, therefore the Gemara is asking, so obviously, if you don't have a tefach, so how could you take the pshita that you don't need a tefach? Because, I mean, in the whole thing, there isn't a tefach in the whole thing. And he answers, you do have a tefach and a little bit more. So you might think you have a little bit more. You need a tefach to tear it. Because in this case, you could tear a tefach and still have something that's not torn. Kamash v'lan, but that's a totally different shot. I mean, going that the kasha was not on the pshita that it throws, but rather if there's no tefach, how could you think of tefach as what you need to say?
The keres.
This is the balsar hakofas a keres. I mean, the keres hakotena. Yeah. From which, by the way, Rashi brings a raya that it's got to be only the balsar that's connected to keres, because otherwise there's no such thing as an animal that doesn't have a tefach. There's no animal where ruba wouldn't be a tefach. If you're talking about the whole thing, if you're talking about that entire piece of meat, whether it's connected to carrots or not, there's not an animal that is so small that rove would not be a tefa. It's got to be referring dafka to the. Okay, so continues the Gemara. Amar Gneiva, Amar Rav Asi, Nikdara Kesela Trefa. If you have the size of a hole, that's a sela, it's trefa. Why? Because if you would take a string and put it around that sela, and then spread the string out, a sela, the circumference of a sela, is a tefach. So therefore, inti matach tamod ala tefach. If you spread it now out, then that's a shir b'tefach. Amra priya barabba l'divim afashin aminei d'gniva amabla Narda. We were crossing a ferry boat by Narda, and he explained to me that actually the sela exactly would still be kosher. It's more than a sela, it's trade. How much is more than a sela? Amr Rav Yosef, you go on the island, tlat kashaita b'tzipa b'duchka, below tzipa b'ravacha. If you have three pits of dates, now in the date pit, unless you suck them dry, there's always a little bit of date meat that's left. If you take three of these date pits, put one against the other with the meat on them, then they'll go through a hole that's slightly larger than a sela with dolchak. You push it up against the edges. If you remove the meat of the date, they'll go through berevach. This, by the way, became one of the rayas, you know, the whole discussion about shirim, that things have changed, that the beitim nowadays are smaller beitim, and so on and so on. And the olives are smaller olives. And one of the rayas is that dates must be significantly smaller than they were. Because three date pits over here in a circle that has a circumference of a tefach is a joke. It would go through very easily, no matter what. Must be the dates have shrunk. Of course, one could claim that the date pits have shrunk, but the dates of the meat is taken away. But anyway, zero. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we managed to catch up. Very good.